are you talking to God about? How many of you have ever talked to somebody and after they were finished, you didn't know a thing of what they said? Sometimes it's because I wasn't listening. It was going straight on through. But there have been those times when, I was talking to somebody or they were talking to me, and when they were finished, I was asking them, what did they just say? I remember years ago, Linda and I were at Lee University. It was Lee College then. And they had a guest speaker come in, Paul Laverne Walker. Very highly educated gentleman. He pastored the Mount Paran Church of God in Atlanta, Georgia. And he preached that night. He brought the message. And I do declare, even though we were college students, you needed a dictionary to be able to decipher the words he was using. And after the sermon was over, we all looked at each other and said, what did he just say? Now, when Billy Graham preaches, I've been to his schools of evangelism. I've been to several of them. And they have re-emphasized over and over again that he targets a sixth grade education in his sermon delivery, so that everybody can understand the message. I kind of wonder if maybe sometimes when some of us are finished talking to God, he turns to the Son and says, what did they just say? Jesus gave to his apostles and disciples content. This is what he said. Probably many of you have repeated it many times in your life. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I'm reading right from the scripture. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Prayer's over. I'm done. We're up. We're gone. Hello? How many people have spent their lifetime just reciting that prayer? But what is the Lord's Prayer? That's what we call it. The Lord's Prayer. I want you to notice he said, first of all, after this manner, pray ye. Note that he is saying this is how to pray. This is how we should go about praying. Not the words they should pray, but the entirety. The Lord's Prayer is a model prayer that is to be prayed through. It is after this manner, in this way, like this, that a person is to pray. Christ was teaching his disciples. These guys had been with Jesus now about 3 years. They had been in the University of Christ. I think they had a pretty good background. They've watched Jesus pray. They've watched him pray all night long. They've watched him pray for hours on end. Now, how in the world can you take that simple prayer that we just and pray for hours? But that's exactly what Jesus was teaching them to do. He was giving words, phrases, thoughts that are to be the points of our prayer to God. In other words, would go a little like this: Our Father. Thank you, Father, that you are our Father, that you have adopted us as children of God, sons and daughters of yours. Oh, hallelujah! We are no longer strangers and foreigners in a strange land. We belong to a family. It's the family of God, and you're our Father who lives in the heavens. Oh, hallelujah! You see how that's the intent, that we are to pray these different phrases and add to them, which art in heaven. Thank you for heaven, Lord. Oh, that you are in heaven, that you have chosen us to be with you in heaven. Thank you, Father, for the hope and the anticipation of heaven. Do you see where he's going? So our content needs to be whatever he gave in this form of prayer that he has laid down before us. And I want you to take a look at it one line at a time. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Our. How many know that our is more than one? How many know that what he is saying here is there's a whole bunch of us? Oh God, when I come to you, I'm coming not just as one, but there's a whole world full of believers. There are people all across America that love you and cherish you and bring to you their needs and their problems. We are a family together. There are those who speak English. There are those who speak Spanish. There are those who speak Iranian and Russian and Chinese and Japanese and languages that we don't know. Our Father, we're a whole bunch of us down here, and we're talking to you, Heavenly Father. Oh, one who is dear to us. Not just a God that is set in the heavens, who has wound up the universe and is letting it wind down and then it's all kaput. No, you are a Father. You are tenderly and wonderfully connected to us who are part of your children. You are our Father. I don't know about you, but to have a Father that you can look to, who really cares, who really understands. You know, even in one place, the apostle said, we call him Abba, Father. That is a very friendly, as if family relationship. It's like saying, Daddy. It's a close relationship. It's not something that is, your father, you're the king of the family, you sit over there. My wife and I last night watched a movie, The Big Fat Greek Wedding. And Papa was the head of the house. And you dare not do anything that Papa didn't like. Hello? You got in trouble if you didn't obey Papa and everything he said. But I like my Heavenly Father because he loves me whether I've been good or bad. Hello? He loves me in spite of me. Amen. He loves you in spite of you. I'm going to get you in on this too. Hallelujah. He is a father. He cares. Cares about his children. Cares about all of these ones that are down here calling him by one voice, our Father. And our Father, oh hallelujah, where is he? I'm glad. I'm so glad. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad. When we come to church, we don't have a big fat Buddha sitting on that table. Amen. I've been in those places. They set that big fat Buddha up and you go look at him and he needs to be on a diet. And they come and they pray to him. They bow down to him. They set fruit in front of him. My Father is not a big fat dude of stone sitting on a table someplace. My Father lives in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. He lives in a place that the microscopes or the telescopes and the Hubbles have never yet been able to infiltrate and take a look at. He lives in a place, the Bible teaches us, that is above the clouds, above the firmament. Oh, hallelujah. He lives in a place that is above the space station. Oh, that's floating around out there. He lives in a place far beyond Pluto and far beyond the Milky Way and far beyond the universe. A place that the Bible calls heaven. Jesus kind of described it a little bit. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Again. I go to prepare a place for those who will be my followers, my children. Oh wow, my daddy is making a place, let me tell you, like this old world has never seen before. John the Revelator, he got a little glimpse of it. He said there's no pain. There's no suffering. Hallelujah. There's no wheelchairs. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All Ednas will get up and dance. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Amen. A place, no more crying, no more kidney problems, no more diseases. Amen. There'll be no more death, for death will be conquered and done away with. He said, it's a place I prepare for you, and the gates of the city are like solid pearl. There's 12 of them. The foundations are like ruby and aspen and amaranth and diamond, you name it. And that's what the foundation is made of. The streets are paved with purest, transparent gold. And that's just the city he's going to send down from that place called heaven. And we all have a room, Bill. I don't know about you, but I want mine on Main Street. Hey? I want to see all the action. I want to be able to look out my window in that glorious place and see all you saints traveling back and forth saying, hallelujah, glory, amen, the King is on his throne. We are having a wonderful time in the city of God, worshiping and praising him, casting our crowns at his feet. Bible says where that throne room is, the floor is like transparent glass. And out of the throne flows a river of water that flows for the healing of the nation along with the leaves of the tree. And sitting on the throne is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Whose face outshines the sun. Well, glory. I tell you what. We haven't even started to pray, and yet we've only gotten to our Father, which art in heaven. Hallelujah. Elwood. This is holy ground. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine when Moses met up with Jehovah out there in the wilderness, in the desert? The bush was burning, and he turned aside to see what was going on, and God spoke to him out of the bush and said, "Take off the shoes." Come off, shoes. Glory. Take off the shoes from your feet. The ground that you're standing on is holy ground. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Holy ground. I don't know that I've ever been on holy ground. I don't know if I've ever been in a place like that. But my Father, which is in heaven, hallowed. Your name is above every name. Your name is filled with honor. Your name is filled with glory. Your name is filled with grace. Your name is above all other names. My goodness gracious, it sounds so hollow to say Trump. It sounds even more hollow to say Hillary. Oh, Hillary. It sounds even more hollow to say Jonathan. No, dust doesn't cut it. But oh, to say Jesus, Savior, Redeemer, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, Bright and Morning Star, Root out of a dry ground, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, hallowed is your name above any and all other names. And we just getting started to pray. You understand what I'm saying here? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Lord have mercy, I don't want the Republicans or the Democrats in part. Amen? One of them's going to get in there, I guess. They don't kill each other before they do. I don't care which one gets in. Tell you the truth. I think you already know who I'm going to vote for. But my faith is not in D.C. When I'm praying, I'm not bowing and saying, "Oh, great Capitol Hill." I'm not. I read a little story just last night. The big traffic backup down in D.C. And traffic was all, it was a parking lot out on the Beltway. And somebody came walking back between the cars and saying, "We just got word." He telling this man, asked him, said, "What's going on?" He said, "We just got word. The terrorists are holding captive Congress for a ransom of millions of dollars. If they don't get it, they're going to burn them." And the man said, "Well, how much is everybody giving?" He said, "1 gallon apiece." Lord have mercy. When I'm praying, I'm not praying to D.C. I'm saying, "Your kingdom." Oh, hallelujah! The kingdom that will reign for 1,000 years on this earth. the kingdom that will come. And when he establishes his rulership on this world, the lamb will lie down with the lion. Oh, hallelujah! I can't wait to pet that old boy. Glory! Hallelujah! Sorry. I'm going to get my hand in that old shaggy head of that old king lion and shake it around a little bit and say, how you doing, buddy? I've been wanting to do this a long, long time. The lamb will lie down with the lion. Hallelujah. They'll beat their swords and their weapons into plowshares. It's going to be an agricultural thing. Amen. They're going to grow apples that big. And watermelons will be so big you'll need a big cart to carry them. And grapes will be like the grapes of Eshcol. They'll be as big in pods that it'll take two men to carry them. That's the kingdom that he's going to establish. Be no more war. And guess what? In that kingdom, and I'm praying this, in the kingdom, your kingdom that's coming, Lord, the Satan will be bound. Hallelujah. And he'll have no more power. He'll have no more ability to assault the saints of God. He'll be bound in eternal hell. Thy kingdom come.
Crazy.
Thy will be done. If you don't please me, bless God. I used to have a friend, pastor down in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Old Brother Jones, Raymond Jones, had been a drunk. And God saved him and called him to the ministry, and he started a church down there. He preached, but he had one habit. Every time he wanted to raise, he threatened to retire. And they'd give him more money. He finally retired, he died. But he was saying to them, I want my will. How many of y'all have your way around the house? How many of you gentlemen say, yeah, honey, whatever you want. Huh? Whatever you want, sweetheart. Not my will, but thine be done. Well, in here we're asking for the Lord's will to be done on this earth. I'm going to tell you what, when his will is done, there'll be no more of the shenanigans of the old sinful flesh. That'll all be taken away. Glory, when you and I come back with him to reign on this earth for 1,000 years, you and I will reign with him. I don't know where he's going to put me, whether I'll be the mayor of Smithsburg or what. I don't know where he's going to put Brother Peel. Will he be the mayor of Blue Ridge Summit? I don't know. But he's going to put us on this earth to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be what the Democrats want, what the Republicans want, what the Independents want. It'll be what Jesus wants. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm looking forward to that day, are you? I'm looking forward to the day when everything that is done in this old world will be what Jesus wants. Your will be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thy will be done where? In this earth as it is in heaven. There's only one dude I remember that went up to God one day and said, I don't like the way you're running things. He said, I'm going to kick you off the throne and I'm going to take over. Guess what? He came flying down through the universe like lightning. He struck the earth, that first pre-Adamite world that God had created, and the pre-Adamite race was here. Old Lucifer was cast into that earth, and when he was, the earth became dark and void and without form. And then God came along years, maybe thousands, maybe millions, we don't know how long. God came along and said, I'm going to recreate it. And in 7 days, he brought the earth back, and at the end of 7 days, he made Adam and Eve. But old Lucifer hit the ground. Glory. I like it. I like it. Amen. Don't you like it when somebody going around with their chest puffed out and they think, I'm bum, 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 bum. And somebody go, boom! And they go down. I like it because His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no angels up there telling God what to do. There is no council up there telling God, now you need to do it this way or that way. They have no committees in heaven telling God how to perform His work and His job. He alone is potentate and king of all, and whatever He says goes. Yes. And when He comes to this earth with the saints, riding on all of those white stallions, hallelujah, and He establishes His throne in Jerusalem, the city of God, when He comes, hallelujah, He will lay the rules down. He'll say, this is the way we're doing things on this earth. I don't care who you were before, I'm now king. And I'll give the ruling as to what to do. Now, we've been praying a while. We've only gotten to Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now we get to our needs. See what we've been doing, first of all, in prayer? We've been acknowledging God. We've been lifting Him up. We've been talking about all of His glory and domain and worshiping and honoring Him. And now, Jesus says, now it's your turn. Give us this day our daily bread. How many jobs have you held since you've been a working man?
10, maybe.
Brother Donnie? Whole bunch of them. I went to visit a good friend of mine up in Blair's Valley some years ago. He built this nice big house. He owned that whole valley up there. He sold everything to whitetail that mountain up there. He's a good friend of mine. I went up there to visit him in his nice new brick home. I kind of got the idea after sitting there talking to him, look what all I've built. Took me outside and around. This is what I did. This is what I've accomplished. Old Bill Nolan, he'd fly to Chicago some years ago to pick up his flight to fly that big old plane across to Europe. And he set that big old plane down, what is it, 747, 757? 767. 767. Wow. Set that big old plane down on that runway with all those people in it, and it come across the intercom. They said, Bill Nolan, your captain, I have gotten you to Europe. It's all right every now and then to say I've done so and so, huh? But let's recognize We don't have the power within ourselves to do anything. Really. If you get up and go to work, who gave you the breath to breathe all night? Who gave you the wherewithal to open your eyes and get out of bed? Who put the food on your... Well, I worked for that food. Who gave you the strength to work for it? Who gave you the ability to earn a living? So you see, we have to depend on Him for everything. Give us this day our daily bread. I wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord. I put my feet on the floor and stand up, thank you, Lord. Amen. I get down to the kitchen. I reach up in the cabinet like I did this morning. I get my box of grape nut flakes. I set them on the counter and say, thank you, Lord. I reach over and get me a fresh peach. And I peel that peach and I cut it all up and put it in my grape nut flakes. And I say, thank you, Lord, for growing this peach. Amen. I get my sweetener out of the cupboard. And I sprinkle it over my grape nut flakes and my peach. And I say, I get a spoon after I've poured the milk on it and let it set for 5 minutes. And I dip in, and when I put that first spoonful of grape nut flakes with two pieces of peach on it in my mouth and the milk dribbling off of the spoon, I say, thank you, Lord. Give me this day my daily bread. Amen. Everything we get every day, everything we have, everything we own, everything that we're going to get comes from Him. He said He would supply all our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, Tuesday morning, I'm going to get awake. I'm going to go to breakfast. But I don't know what Fidel Castro is going to have for me. I'm going to be eating breakfast in Cuba. And I'm sure he doesn't have grape nut flakes. So when I go to the breakfast table on Tuesday, and whatever it is that is set before me, beans, rice, who knows, I'm going to have to say, thank you, Lord. Please bless this food and sanctify it to the nourishment of my body. But I'm going to still say, Lord, you're the one who has given. You're the one who has provided. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, you know what happens to a lot of people when they start praying. Instead of saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy king. They start out praying, Lord, you know I need this. Lord, you know I've got to have this today. Lord, I'm hurting so bad this morning. I've got to have some help here today, Lord. Oh, God, help me. I'm going to tell you what. You start out doing it like Jesus said. And by the time you get to give us this day our daily bread, you're going to be so happy and so full of the spiritual blessings of God, you could care less about how your bones feel. Amen. But you see, we get the cart before the horse. if we're not careful and we start out, God, give me what I need. And I think sometimes, Sister Pearl, I think sometimes all God hears from some people is, gimme, 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 gimme. How many of you would like to sit all day long and hear, gimme, 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 I believe if I were Jesus sitting by the right hand of the Father, I'd turn to God the Father and say, shut him up. Jesus made provision. Once we've gotten through the proper recognition of who we're talking to, once we have given recognition to who God is and how great He is and how marvelous and wonderful He is, then He has given us the opportunity to say, God, I'm depending on You. You're my provider. You're the one who supplies my needs. And I'm looking to You, Lord. Whatever, Lord, that You think I need. And God, You know ahead of time what I need even before I ask You. Lord, I put it in Your hands. You are the supplier of all of my needs. Give me this day my daily bread. Oh, now here comes the hardening. After you've asked the Lord to supply your needs, Lord, forgive me my debts, trespasses. Well, all of us can just skip that one, can't we? Huh? No. We have to ask forgiveness. Huh? Edna? Saint Edna? Saint Sharon? No. Saint Pat? Does she ever need forgiven of anything, John? Huh? Be careful. Saint Garney? You know, all these smiles just give it away. I believe I read someplace in a book, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us are worthy to come into His presence. None of us have been able to do enough good works. None of us. Even Billy Graham. And he'd be one of the first to tell you. Nobody is sinless in the sight of a holy God. Oh, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. Maybe our prayer will turn a little bit somber right now. As we are remembering, I shouldn't have talked that way. I shouldn't have thought that thought. I shouldn't have said it to my sweetheart the way I said it. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have watched that on TV last night. That big old fat Greek wedding. No. I shouldn't have. How many ever hear yourself saying, I shouldn't have? I shouldn't have. Oh God, forgive me my debts. Here comes the clincher. As I forgive those who trespass against me. Now, Lord, you know what Bill Nolan did to me. I'm telling you, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, but you got to deal with him. Huh? When he comes and asks me forgiveness, then I'll forgive him. Huh? Forgive me. First, Lord, forgive me. And while you're forgiving me, I forgive Bill Nolan, whether he asked for it or not. Amen? Matter of fact, I think Jesus said in one place, if you don't forgive others, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. So don't be coming to God asking all of this prayer. You know, I learned a long time ago when somebody walks in church and they're just polishing me up one side and down, they're blessing me and they're saying, oh, you're so great, you're so wonderful. Look out. Something's coming. Hello. Now I can see God if you're praying, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And all of those things, we were just praising God. And the whole time we got something in our heart against somebody else. We're trying to polish up God so he'll forgive us and he'll give us our daily bread. But he says, if you're not going to forgive your neighbor, then I won't forgive you. So Lord, give us our daily bread. Forgive me my trespasses. Oh, some of us get hung up there too. Lord, you know this world's going to hell in a handbasket. Oh, this world is so bad. This, my neighbor, he's terrible. I go to church and I sit along Sister So-and-so and she sits there and chews her cud all through church and aggravates me. And I'm holding it against her. And I'll never say anything. But you got it in your heart. Hello? You got to get your heart clean. You got to say, Lord, forgive me my transgressions as I forgive anybody and everybody their transgressions. Amen? Oh my, I'm 10 minutes over here. Lead us not. Are you getting the message here? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you what, God never led me into any temptation. The devil's been busy enough as it is. And I've been busy enough as it is. Hello? I've got trouble. I don't need to ask God, don't lead me to temptation. I say, J.D. Lay, you stop leading yourself into temptation. I had people come and say, well, I want to give up this and I want to give up that. And I said, well, stop buying it. If you want to stop smoking, stop buying them. If you want to stop drinking, stop lifting the glass. Hello. If you want to stop cussing, sew your mouth shut. You want to stop lying? Quit it. It's you. It's not God making you do it. And so you need to bring it under subjection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Oh, hallelujah. How many times have I been in the midst of a temptation and I said, oh, God, forgive me. cleanse me, purify me, wash me with the blood of the Lamb, cleanse my soul, take away my sin, deliver me from all evil. And there have been those times when I believe with all of my heart the old devil was ready to pounce, but the angel of the Lord came by and said, you can't do it. When Satan comes in like a flood, he raises up a standard against him. Deliver us from temptation. For thine, here it is, you're closing out in your prayer. Again, putting the attention on God. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.